Let's start with weather, though. It's easy to get sucked into saying things are really good this season, especially across eastern states, but that's not the case. As we've found out every time we talk weather on this program, certainly in the northwest of Victoria, but it goes beyond that. Seasonal conditions were discussed at a meeting of the Mallee Sustainable Farming Group on Monday night, and there was a consensus that from Murray Bridge in South Australia to Kyalite in New South Wales, crops are in dire straits. Director Ron Hards farms at Yarrara in the Milawa, and while he says he was fortunate to get some good July rains and has cut vetch for hay, looking out and beyond his back paddock, it's grim in most areas.
Yeah, look, they're pretty dismal right across everywhere. You know, the crops are on a short. They really didn't get germinated until quite late. You know, it was into June before we had a reasonable germination. And any time you get a June germination, there's really not much chance of cutting it, you know, a better than average crop of hay. So I think that's put us behind the eight ball for a start. And to go into the spring as dry as we are, it's pretty dismal. And the reports I got last night was there's crops dying basically right across the Mallee. Trial plots are basically decimated with Mallee Sustainable Farming. You know, the trials just are not going to make the grade. So, you know, it's a wasted year for everybody.
And it must be disappointing, Ron, I guess. Obviously disappointing, but there were some reasonably favourable long-term forecasts coming from the Bureau. Clearly, in the areas you're talking about, those forecasts haven't come to fruition.
No. And it's not just our patch. It's a big area. And, you know, the entire Mallee region of South Australia, Victoria and New South Wales is in dire straits. And I know that's a bit of an early forecast about drought, but, you know, the lead-up to it just hasn't been favourable. And when you're talking a bit over 100 mil for the season, we're back in the last, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, we had similar rainfall events. At least this year we've got cover. Most of the land has got cover on it. And, you know, hopefully that doesn't disintegrate to the point where it starts blowing again.
How much rain have you had at your place, Ron?
We've had a bit more than that. Look, we're in a pretty favourable little spot this year. And you know, we actually had 50 mil for July, which really set the crops up on our place. And they grew like crazy. They must have knew what was coming or what had already been in the time of the year. They really grew pretty quickly.
So winners and losers, as always, Ron. In those drier areas, has the ship sailed now, or are they still hanging out for rain?
Look, an immediate fall of, you know, 25 to 50 mil would probably bring some of them home, but it's getting close to the wire. You know, it's just about curtains for a lot of the crops. And from what I heard last night, it's right across the region, and everybody's looking down the barrel of a not a very favourable season at all. So yeah, it's disappointing that we've only had one season after those couple of droughts.
And Ron, probably a good reminder for people, including myself, to avoid those sorts of sweeping statements where you say everywhere in the eastern states is looking good, for example.
Yeah, it is. It's disappointing to see that that commentary in the newspapers and on the radio that you know, that everything's too sweet in the southeast. It certainly isn't, and I think people want to broaden their eyes and lift their eyes a little bit, and you know, be aware of what is happening. I'm not a fan of the Bureau, and I think they've stuffed it up again. You know, we're supposed to get rains right through this year, and they've been virtually nil. There's no rain from January to April, and then the rains we got from then on were, the maximum was 5 or 6 mil, you know, and they were always a week or 10 days apart. They were doing nothing. And, you know, as I said, we didn't get a germination until late June. July was okay, and then it's fizzled out again, so you know, it's very disappointing that we've, you know, our hopes are built up. We make decisions on forecasts. You have to take it into account. And, you know, it's disappointing to be let down again. So I think they've got to lift their game. Something's got to be done.
But at least, Ron, as you say, at least you do have some cover. So hopefully we don't see too much topsoil moving around this summer.
That's true, Angus. So, you know, I hope the sheep prices don't encourage people to stock them too heavy, and you know, and we do maintain that cover over the summer and keep the soils in place, because it's you know, we're still repairing country that was blown in the drought. You know, it was pretty horrific, as you know, and the councils have only just cleaned up all the roads and repaired some of them. you know, we don't want to see all that happen again.
That's Millawa farmer Ron Hards speaking there to Angus Verley. This text, though, at least is looking on the positive side, saying Oyen through to Murrayville is looking pretty good at the moment. Thank you very much. We were hearing about a wetter spring. Has that eventuated, or what factors are at play to mean we're getting the weather that we're getting at the moment? Dale Gray is a seasonal risk agronomist with Agriculture Victoria. And I thought I'd bring him on to have a chat about, well, what we're looking at the moment. Dale, welcome back to the country.
Good afternoon, Warwick, and good afternoon to the listeners.
And we've just heard from the northwest of Victoria, so it's probably a good place to start there. And the frustration from that one area of Victoria in particular that's missing out on rain, what's going on there?
Well, I share their frustration, Warwick. I come from that area myself, and it's not what I was hoping or expecting for, given the forecasts earlier. And look, in defence of the Bureau, they have not been alone. I monitor, you know, 11 other models from the world, and there's been, for at least for the last three or more months, a very strong consensus that wetter would be the most likely outcome for spring, and yet we have not, we are yet to see that. And we have a few things. We have a few things at play there, Warwick. We have this negative Indian Ocean dipole. That's quite weak. It's nothing like the 2016 event. The sea surface temperature pattern up there doesn't quite look the same as what a classic negative IOD looks. And we haven't seen really strong coupling with the atmosphere. So the cloud and the wind patterns, look, for the last 6 weeks have kind of died away up there. And so we're not getting the traditional love from a negative IOD that we might like.
So usually that means a lot more rain will be coming our way, but that's not connecting up from what you see at the moment.
Well, it is all about, it's frustratingly, Warwick, it's all about probability, which no one likes to hear. But it is, look, the odds of a wetter finish to the season, you know, for most negative IOD years would be in the order of about 60% for many parts of Victoria, a significantly wetter one. But that still means that there's been a number of average year outcomes in that. And for most locations in Victoria, there's been, you know, one, two or three out of those 20 negative IODs in the past that have been in the drier end of things. So it's not that it hasn't really happened before. It's just that the odds of it happening have been very low, and it could still come through. Like, those models are still convinced that wet is the most likely outcome. But you know, every day and week that goes past, that the northwest in particular is not getting a decent drink, is making it more desperate that they get something very much wetter. Of course, we are being favoured by these. Well, whether they're cooler weather conditions or whether they're just mild, we had those really warm spikes in August, late August, but things are, you know, the weather this week is once again quite benign. Last week was. So if you haven't got a lot of moisture left behind, the temperatures at least are at the moment being kind to us.
And I'm going to put a pin in sort of the future particularly, but I will read this text from Mullet on Twitter, who said, will northwest Victoria get any rain before harvest, or is it only going to happen when the headers come out? And that's the fear, isn't it, when we're growing things, like especially in cropping country like that, that the rain may arrive, but it may arrive too late.
Well, and there's plenty of people starting to get their mowers out now, cutting their oat and hay and their vetch hay up in the Mallee. And that's a very good indicator that it's likely to start raining soon, Warwick, historically. It's the best known way of bringing rain on, really, is to start cutting hay. But look, it's still very hard to know. It's the models expect that rain should be happening in the Mallee. But I didn't really get to the nut of what the current problem is that we need things to change from what their current pattern is. The current pattern we see is that the southern annular mode, which is that measure of the frontal system spinning around Antarctica, is in a positive phase. And at the moment, that seems to be, well, that's dragging the triggers, the lows and the fronts, further away from Victoria. So the triggers, when they're coming through every week, but they are very weak. There's not much to them, not much guts to them. They're a long way south. The other problem we have is that our subtropical ridge of high pressure is further north of its winter position, which means that the tropics are being pushed further away from Victoria. The tropics never come down to Victoria very often, but it means that tropical air that's up north of Australia, which is where the moisture comes from, it's currently fine and good up there, but it's being pushed further away. So not only got a lack of triggers, or when they come through, they're very weak. We are just unable at the moment to get a good connection to that tropical moisture and drag it down. So we need that to change. It's normally something that doesn't sort of hang around for, you know, months and months and months on end, unless you had something like an El Nino or a positive Indian Ocean dipole. So it should be a passing phase. But, of course, the worry is that it just waits too long to do that. And as Mullet says, it starts to come into the harvest period.
Dale, sorry, before we sort of talk wider too, the northwest of Victoria is missing out, but not everywhere in Victoria is in that situation, is it? We've heard a lot on the Country Hour recently from southwest Victoria and particularly East Gippsland as well, who were saying we've had enough rain at various points of the last month or two. So can you go into what's happening there?
Well, this is the irony. And even here in Bendigo, I'd say we've probably had close to average rainfall for this month. We're not even finished yet. So, you know, the season here is ticking along beautifully. Northeast Victoria as well has been wet enough, although they're sort of starting to dry out. So it's very much been the frontal stuff. So that's sort of kept the southwest alive. It just kept getting all that frequent rain through the winter time. We had a couple of wetter months for the Mallee, but given the late start, it wasn't really enough to top the soil moisture profiles up, but it certainly has been enough to top the moisture profiles up in the southwest and in Gippsland for that matter. It's an interesting factor of the positive southern annular mode is that at this time of the year, that historically increases the odds of there being greater rainfall, particularly in East Gippsland. It sort of leads to more easterly wind flow in from that sort of Tasman Sea area and can increase the odds of rainfall. Of course, they've continued to get the dollops of rainfall during the season, mainly because they've had a number of really strong east coast low events, which are the main rain-bearing systems that East Gippsland needs and gets. And they're just a weather phenomena. So they've just been lucky enough to get a number of them this year, whereas in the previous years, you know, they've really been lacking those east coast low events, which give them their big dollops and cause the rivers to rise and the sandbars to burst.
So let's talk the outlook then, Dale. You mentioned earlier you monitor a lot of different models. Are they in agreement over what we're likely to get over the coming months, or is there a bit of conjecture there?
No, there's very little conjecture. There's really only one model that's got a slightly drier outlook, and that's the JAMSTEC model from a university in Japan. It's got a slightly drier eastern half of Victoria and a neutral or anything could happen west.
Oh, we just lost you for a second there, Dale. You still there?
Most likely outcome. There's just one other model there that's got a sort of a neutral, anything could happen outcome, and that's NASA. So, you know, the vast amount of models are seeing this tropical stuff going on to our north and thinking that looks pretty good. Like there's nothing wrong too much up to the north, and they are seemingly convinced that what's stopping the rainfall from the moment should move on. But yet it hasn't yet. So it's going to be a case of watch this space, Warwick, I think, as to if and when it will move on. And if it doesn't, it's going to be one of those classic years where the least likely thing to happen has. And as we come to the spring racing carnival, it's not impossible that the 100-to-1 roughy can get up and win. And maybe that's kind of not that a dry season in a negative IOD year would be a 100-to-1 roughy, but it would be more like an 8-to-1 roughy or something like that.
So what's happening, I suppose, when we look at the agreeance of the models and what we're experiencing in Victoria, is the rain there and we're just missing it, or is it not developing in the ways the models think it should?
Well, I think that's the million-dollar question as to why aren't the models able to predict that these drier months? There was almost, well, I can't think that there was a single model that was predicting that August, for instance, looks like it was going to be a drier month. They were still on board for wetter, and yet that is what happened. So, and it is all to do with this, the pressure patterns and things forming these sort of stalling patterns, where we've seen pressure start to dominate and be higher over the whole of Australia, really, at the moment. And that's normally a pattern that doesn't, you know, means there's the high pressures are dominant, and that usually means that there's a lack of rainfall. But that is something, as I said, is not normally permanent. So we would be, there should be no reason why that shouldn't sort of start to drift away at some time. But it's just testing the patience of everybody as to when that might be.
What are you watching from here? What are the important indicators to you?
Well, I think it's not impossible that that negative IOD could fire back up again. Certainly the temperature is really warm up to our northwest, so there's nothing wrong with there. There's more moisture sort of being evolved off the ocean up in that region. But things like those trade winds blowing stronger towards Indonesia and the cloud patterns and the pressure patterns up there, they could change within the space of a week if they so desired. So that could swing things around reasonably rapidly. Of course, the negative IOD is one of the best known bringers of northwest cloud band activity, and that's this throughout this whole sort of weak negative IOD event that we have not seen much of that at all. So now is the time, Warwick. Now is the time for some greater northwest cloud band activity. The other bogey in the mix is that we've got in the Pacific Ocean, we've got this potentially developing La Nina. Now, we're nowhere near at that at the moment, but we see all the signs that a negative, that a La Nina is in fact possible, but it's probably not likely to form in time to bring home the bacon for most of northern Victoria. And which means it's probably, if it does form, it might likely be sort of something over the summertime period, which is much as what we got last year. And historically, summertime La Niñas are very hit and miss. There's been just as many wet ones as dry ones.
Okay, so we won't take, well, too much salt with that one, I suppose. Just before we let you go, Dale, a couple of quick questions from listeners. Amanda's asked this one. This mightn't be a quick question. It might be complicated, but you can do your best. She says, I'd love to know whether extreme events like 1-in-100-year weather events are actually becoming more common. Do you monitor stuff like that, or are you looking more at the trends in models?
I'm sort of more looking at those monthly sort of things that are happening in terms of soil moisture and rainfall and what the models are thinking for the next sort of 3 months. But I think the evidence is pretty strong that extreme events are being much more frequently. My boss, Graham Anderson, says, you know, if you love breaking records, you're going to love climate change because but it's interestingly, those records that we're breaking are not necessarily hot or dry. They are also wet and cold. Like, you're just getting these extreme events occurring more frequently. But we're getting more warmer records sort of being broken all the time.
And Damien has a nicer question for you then, Dale, to let you go on. He just says, can we have a nice summer in lieu of the last 18 months?
Well, I'm not sure. Last summer was a very nice summer from memory. It was it wasn't a hot summer. Our fire agencies had a pretty benign summer. And there's some evidence this year that this, you know, the start to this summer could be kind as well. We've got plenty of moisture around, particularly in our mountainous regions, which, you know, if there's going to be a bad fire season, might delay that to autumn, perhaps. It will be really about how much summer rainfall we get. And there's a number of models that are predicting a wetter summer rainfall sort of year as well, which would really put the mozzarella in any sort of fire activity potentially. There's not a lot of evidence at the moment for a hotter summer either, which is a bit uncommon. We see that a lot in the last kind of 15 years of model predictions. But, you know, sitting on the fence really for temperature and sitting on the fence to wetter predictions for rainfall for the summer. So, you know, if that was to come out, that could be quite a pleasant summer.
We'll have to talk again. That's what this sounds like. Dale, thank you very much for joining us today.
No worries. Thank you, Warwick.
Dale Gray, seasonal risk agronomist with Agriculture Victoria. And this text has come in from Shovel to Mullet, who was talking about, well, the lack of rain in northwest Victoria and how it'll probably rain as soon as he gets the header out. It just says, it'll be okay. Hang in there, Mullet. From Shovel. Love that.